Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 15 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Jimmy Moyoha, updates from Coronation and Pan-African Resources, one good, one not so good, perhaps. Chatting with Skulk Low, are we seeing a repeat of the 2000 NASDAQ meltdown? And some thoughts from me on office vacancies. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Mercedes-Benz SA opposes government electric vehicle subsidy. What they do want is that the import duty to be brought to parity. The current, at the moment, internal combustion is at an 18% import, whereas EVs have got a 25% import duty. That makes no sense. Business Day, grey listing could turn SA into a financial pariah, warns Sim Shabalala. Interestingly, I was at an event yesterday where grey listing was discussed. It's a big deal, and it could be happening in October. I'm going to get an expert on next week. Let's dig into this possibility, what it means and what the risks are. Morning markets, US markets were mixed, S&P down a third, NASDAQ up a third. Asia mixed with Sydney down 0.8% and Tokyo up 0.6%. Commodities mostly red overnight, gold $1,707 an ounce, Brent flat at $100.13 a barrel, platinum 822, palladium 1,917. Rand 17.14, top 40 opening call, about 350 points to the upside. That's about 0.6%. That as Tencent trades down 2% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny and I with Jimmy Moyoha. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. Coronation, as they do every quarter, they put out an update on their assets under management. It was $580 billion at the end of June. If I go back to the December 21, there was $662 billion. March, there was $625 billion. It's about a 12% decline. It's broadly in line with local markets. But yo, I hadn't looked at the share price in a while. 31 Rand for Coronation.
Morning, Simon. I mean, yeah, from a Coronation perspective, I think this latest announcement, 7% decline from interim results of March, we're seeing the steady decline, and we've seen it sort of happen within the asset managers. But I think Coronation might be feeling it a lot more than some of the other guys in the space. Some of the other competitors are not losing sort of 12% at this stage call it 6 months, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think Coronation might be, we know historically they've always played sort of a safer approach to their investments, trying to provide as much stability towards their clients as possible, and sort of avoiding your riskier plays at certain times. So I think at the moment with the global situation and where we're sitting with sentiment around the world, we are expecting that asset managers might experience some form of decline. I think I'd want to see Coronation's one a bit more minimal, but I mean, it's a bit late for that, considering they lost, 45 billion rand in 3 months. So it's interesting to see. I think it'll be interesting to see how they forecast from here on going forward, because they're in the, this is what, essentially the first quarter of their new financial year, well, of the rest of their financial year. And then from there, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they forecast into their new financial year based on where we're sitting now with interest rates, where we're projecting interest rates to be locally and internationally, and where we're projecting investor sentiment to sort of sit in the coming 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the chart, if we exclude the pandemic sell-off, it's back at 2012 levels. Back then, it's almost 340 billion. I know a lot of folks like the stock, but yo, there has been aggressive selling since, what was it, since the beginning of this year. Folks are not liking. The other trading update that came out was Pan-African Resources. A lot of folks really have it as their preferred gold miner. Operational update for the full year 2022, record gold production, reduction in senior debt. And this is what you want to see from a gold miner or a miner when commodities are at elevated levels. Although, I got to say, I'm scratching my head around gold at only just above 1700.
Do you know what? Gold has been suffering unnecessarily, I think. I think we've seen a lot of jitteriness in the market. We've seen a lot of concerns around what we might see, whether we're going to go into recession, whether or not. But we haven't seen gold act as the safe haven that it used to be. Seen the dollar react more as a safe haven than gold, and I mean that could have been in part due to the fact that your interest rates were where they were, and I mean with the central bank looking to change, or the Fed looking to change that following Wednesday's inflation print, I do still think that gold is taking a lot more of a beating than it should be. But back to Pan African, I really love that update. I think another thing that stood out for me, aside from the fact that their debt was down and their production was up, is that their ESG initiatives are coming online as well. I mean, they're looking at two big solar plants and looking to generate, I think it's about 30 megawatts by 2024. So in the next 2 years, they're looking to cost save about 100 million rand from two solar plants that they're generating, that they're building themselves and that sort of thing. So I'm really liking that part of the update as well. It's tough at the moment to say whether or not, I mean, from a gold miner's perspective, I do like Pan African Resources, but from the mining sector in general, I am still leaning towards guys like Sibanye that are more diversified miners. But I think the gold price will rebound eventually. I mean, we're sitting at 1700 an ounce. We could potentially come down to 1650. I don't want to see us getting lower than that. I don't want to see us retesting the 1475 or 1450 level at this stage, just purely because from the decline that we've seen, I mean, gold, we are expecting at this stage in times of volatility and in times of uncertainty that it would be acting as a better safe haven than it has been in recent months. But I mean, this could also just be the catalyst, or it could just be preparing for a shock announcement that we might see in the markets from whether it's the the EU, whether it's the UK or the US, to say we actually might be heading towards, or we are in a technical recession, or you know what I mean. So from a South African perspective, I think we might, or more than likely might, end up in a technical recession with quarter on quarter GDP declines. But I think from a global perspective as well, it could be that gold is preparing for something like that, and in which case we will see another rally where guys like commodities, other commodities like oil and coal and those sorts of things have been running at the moment, and gold has been taking a lot of the beating. We might see that start to turn around.
Yeah, and gold trading at a 12-month low. And so 27 of July, we're going to get the Federal Open Monetary Committee on rates, and then 28 July will be US GDP data. They already have one quarter of negative data. It's going to be a wild end of the month as we sort of wrap our head around. And maybe that's what gold needs. So far, it's not looking happy. Jimmy Mihan, independent analyst, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chilling now with Skulk Lowe from PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning time. A note that you put out, that I got to say, a bit of shivers down my spine, because I'm old enough to remember that dot-com crash of 2000. Fortunately, due to exchange controls, I didn't have anything offshore invested in it. But the question you raised is, are we seeing a repeat of that collapse where the Nasdaq, from its highs to its lows, was, what, some 70% down? And there are some similarities here.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, hey, it's Friday. Come on, let's celebrate that first, because we know Jim Cramer is ringing the opening bell on Monday. So please, let's not let's not jinx it. But yeah, let's firstly start, Simon. I mean, the note is purely, you know, it's purely just a simulation, though. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, again, past performances do not, you know, guarantee, you know, what's going to happen in the future. All that I did was I looked at that period. Let's call it that period between 1999 and 2000, and I said, you know, when you look at that period, we know that, you know, the Fed, you know, they also tightened their monetary policy. They also started in the hiking phase. You know, when you look at the period June 1999 and May 2000, the Fed hiked interest rates 6 times. We also know that prior to that, that the Nasdaq was trading at valuations. Yeah, well, let's call it pretty much only seen again 20 years later. Now, not that excessive. You know, I want to just say that, you know, make that clear. You know, we the type of valuations we see now wasn't that excessive. But what happened? I mean, when you look at that 6 month period, you know, after the Nasdaq made its highs, which, well, let's call it the beginning of 2000, March 2000 to be exact, that 6 month period after it made its highs, the Nasdaq, you know, traded 39% lower from its highs. Now, you know, very similar to that time. No, you just said you remember that time. No, we didn't have Twitters and Facebooks and those kind of things. We had the good old newspapers. But I remember the newspapers, how these newspapers came out and said, well, this is a great opportunity. Very similar to that, buy the dips. Now, if we did buy the dip, that 7 month period later, let's call it 30-odd% lower levels. Yeah, pretty much 1 year later, your portfolio would have been down 52%, a further 52% from those levels. So all that I did is I said, what happened? You know, what happened over the past 6 months? Now, 7 months. 7 months ago, the Nasdaq also made its highs, new highs. We've seen that, you know, the Fed, you know, they started their hiking phase earlier this year, you know, March to be exact. They're now alluring, they've had 2 rate hikes. They've said they're going to do the monetary tightening after, you know, a few years of easing. And Nasdaq slipped. 7 months later, Nasdaq now down over 30% as well. And very similar to 2000, I'm getting people that's starting to say, well, now it's time. Let's start to buy the dips. And all that I'm saying with this, just be very, very careful. These companies are not trading at very cheap multiples yet. They are still, you know, some of these companies are still, I want to say, expensive. They are definitely looking a hell of a lot more attractive than what they've done in December last year. But they're not dirt cheap yet. And be careful. We're not in the end of the hiking phase. The world is struggling. Economic, it's really in a struggle.
It is struggling. And we could, I mean, it is, and I take the point. I mean, there is a lot of similarity, and these stocks are not yet cheap. And we can almost divide it into two parts. I mean, you pull out some numbers, your Netflix, Shopify is down 74%, and, you know, Apple, Microsoft both down a quarter, Facebook off a half, you know, 50% down. But what we have got here is companies, I mean, I look at the likes of the Facebooks and Apples and Microsoft. They at least are making a profit. Back in 2000, I don't think anyone in the Nasdaq was making money. But profit is nice, but those valuations ultimately matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you can ignore valuations for a long time, but eventually they matter.
For sure. I mean, and that's the one thing you said. I mean, let's look at the Nasdaq companies, you know, of the 2000. The Nasdaq companies of the 2000, I would call them garage sales, because most of these dickies were running these companies out of the garage. You know, they had IPOs and they made millions. That, it's not exactly the same. You're right. You know, the likes of the Metas, they are making money. But I mean, look at that. I mean, the FANG darlings. I mean, what was similar was, you know, a year ago when these companies were trading at these multiples, very similar to 2000, I started to get weird and wonderful ways of valuing these companies. People say, well, don't look at PEs anymore. We can't look at PEs. We need to look at this, or we need to look at that. And that usually is a telltale sign to me personally that things are ending the bull market or bull market phase. How quickly we went into a bear market. I mean, you know, this went from a, don't worry, this is just a slight correction, basically, you know, 10%, you know, or more. Now over, you know, 20%, now even over 30% when you look at the Nasdaq. You mentioned it, you know, Facebook 53% down, Apple 17, Amazon 34, Netflix 71% down, Google 24% down, and even our blue eye boy, you know, Elon Musk, Tesla down 33%, you know, year to date. So, you know what? I think there will be some opportunities. You know, the opportunities are looking a lot better than what it did end of last year. But be very, very selective and be very patient when buying into this. I don't foresee this. You know, like I said, it's only been two rate hikes. Europe is in big trouble. And I think the world currently, as it currently stands, is definitely proning towards, you know, a higher volatility market. Be selective, be cautious, and most importantly, be patient.
Yep, I leave it there. I think Skulk's 100%. Selective, caution, patient. That is the theme here. Is it 2000 again? We don't know, but we will know in time. But the point is that there are no sure things there. Some caution, some selection, and some patience will need it. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. This tech sell-off, I mean, what do you think? Are we heading for a repeat? Which means we're going to halve again from here in the NASDAQ if we are. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
So today on Friday, I want to look at office vacancies. There's a website I use to track it. It's Castle with a K. And they look at office occupations in 10 major metros in the U.S. And then they compare it with what they call some lifestyle occupancies. Lifestyle being sport games, restaurants, which they use in, I think, the dine-in app, which gives you a sense of bookings. And then travel, which they use the TSA throughput numbers. Sport, eating out, traveling, kind of back to pre-pandemic levels. Office occupancies stuck at 44% and been stuck there since the end of last year. It dips down occasionally, long weekends, Christmases and the like, but it's not breaking up much through that sort of mid 40% level. And it spells bad news for office REITs. You know, are those occupancies going to pick up as we sort of head through the tail end of the pandemic and into next year? Sure. I personally know of friends who've been called back to the office who've been working at home for 2.5 years and thought they were never going back. We are going to see some pickup. Are we going to see a doubling, though? And, of course, add to this is tough economic times, never mind a recession, which will reduce office demand as companies cut back, as companies close down. So the point is quite simple. Those office REITs, and I think most of you are fairly, you know, you're aware of this, that the occupancy or vacancy levels remain at record levels. And we might even see them sort of starting to narrow. But are we going to get those vacancy levels back to pre-pandemic, when even then they were perhaps a little higher than they should have been, sort of high single digits around that 8% level? I think not. I think we're going to have empty offices. And then the question is, what to do with them? I know the big talk is we convert them into apartments. Yes, that's not easy because it's not how offices are designed. And of course, it's not cheap. And then you have to find demand. The REIT space, I like it. But the REIT office space, I very much do not like. That's it for today. Yesterday we were chatting with Martin Ackerman. He's a chief economist at Citadel. We were talking about that US inflation number, 9.1% for June. And as I said a moment ago, 27th of this month, we have the Federal Open Monetary Committee, which will be deciding on rates. And we asked you, what should that rate increase be in just under 2 weeks' time? Over half of you said 1%. Yo, that's aggressive. But let's be clear here. Before the data came out on Wednesday morning, there was no talk of 1%. As soon as it came out, suddenly the futures forward markets were pricing in a one-third chance of 1%. That has increased. Citi came out yesterday and said it's got to be 1%. Last time we got a 1%, 1980. So over half of you said we need a percent. I think you're right. A third said 0.75%. I think that's what the Fed would do. And the rest of you said 0.5% will do it. I don't think that's enough. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Tetepso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.